Mark chapter 1. And our text for this evening is the same as last Sabbath evening. Verse 26. Mm-hmm. When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. That was as a result of the Lord silencing the unclean spirit, as we read there in the verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." This miracle, like many that the Lord wrought, was wrought in Capernaum. We know what the Lord had to say about Capernaum. We noted that last Sabbath evening. But in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 23, the Lord said, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you," that is unto the people of Capernaum, "that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Because the Lord had wrought many miracles in Capernaum. And in spite of that, the people did not repent. One of those miracles is the one which is the subject of our message tonight. A man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue there. Last Sabbath evening we considered the master in the synagogue. We noted this presence in the synagogue. It was the Sabbath day, and we are told that the Lord went immediately to the synagogue. Such was his zeal and enthusiasm for the place of worship. When the Sabbath day dawned, the Lord went immediately to the synagogue. Noted his haste then, and his habit, because it was the habit of the Lord to go to his place of worship on the Sabbath day. We noted that in Luke 4, verses 15 and 16. As his custom was, or the word custom means habit. And so we have the presence, the Lord's presence in the synagogue. Then the Lord's people in the synagogue, because the Lord didn't go into the synagogue alone. But rather we pointed out that in the verse 29 and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. So the Lord had four of his disciples. They went with him into the synagogue. They led them to the place of worship. It is the Lord who leads us to this place of worship. Not only do we have the Lord's presence in the synagogue and the Lord's people, but the Lord's preaching in the synagogue. Because we're told in the verse 21 that he went into the synagogue and he taught. There's no preacher like Christ. Last Lord's Day evening we considered his method, his message, and his manner. He taught. The people that heard the Lord preach received something from him. They received some spiritual food. He taught them. Christ was a preacher of the gospel and a teacher of the word. That leads us tonight, after considering the master in the synagogue, we want to look this evening at the man in the synagogue. And there would have been many in the synagogue that day. One individual certainly stood out. He made himself known. We have, first of all, the description of the man. You look there, verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man." What kind of a man was he? Well, we're told There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. Luke tells us, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Or the word devil there may be rendered demon. However you look at it, Satan was active in the synagogue that day. The fact that he is described as an unclean devil doesn't mean, of course, that there are clean devils. They're all unclean. But it is emphasizing the fact that this man was possessed of an unclean demon. Everything he did was unclean. We notice regarding this description, we notice the polluted man. This man was what this demon had made him. He had the spirit of uncleanness. Everything about him would have been marked by uncleanness. No doubt his thoughts were unclean. His talk would have been unclean because he had an unclean tongue. And we know all that comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. It's an unclean, sinful, wicked heart. And how many are like this man today? The prayer to such people is having a dirty mind. And they speak dirty language. Indeed, this man had that kind of a reputation. People knew him for his uncleanness. He had a reputation. You notice there in verse 27. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And so the people in the synagogue knew all about the man, that the man was possessed with an unclean spirit. He had that reputation. Have you ever come across individuals who have that kind of a reputation? Remember when I lived at home with my parents, there was one man who had come to see my father regarding his business, and whenever he came to the place where we lived, my father always sent I and my brothers into the house. Because this man who came had an unclean tongue, a filthy tongue. Remember later on, again, when we lived in another dwelling place, another individual came. His first name was Leslie. He was the same. He was an unclean man. He had an unclean spirit. And that day in the synagogue, holiness came face to face with uncleanness. Good came face to face with evil. God the Savior came face to face with Satan. And there would only be one outcome. There would only be one victor. Of course, the Lord Jesus, as we were singing tonight, is the one that defeats the devil. We see then the polluted man. We see also the presence of the man. Some may be surprised to find an individual who had a reputation for being unclean. Who would expect to find such an individual in a place of worship? But we need not be surprised. For where the word is preached, as it was that day, you can be sure, Satan, and demons, and devils will not be far away. Just go over to Mark. Mark chapter 4, isn't that what the Lord taught? In Mark 4, in verse 14, the Lord had told the parable of the sower, and then he interpreted it to the disciples. In verse 14, Mark 4, the Lord says, the sower soweth the word. So the seed that is sown is the word of God. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So there's the sowing of the seed. That's what the preacher does. He sows the seed. But here we discover, according to the Lord's word, Satan's not far away. Indeed, we're told when the word is sown, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that has been sown in the heart. Remember what the prophet has told us about Joshua, the high priest, over there in Zechariah, chapter 3. We read there now, this is the high priest. He's ministering before the altar of the Lord. On earth, he can't get any closer than that. He's ministering. And we read in verse 1 of Zechariah chapter 3, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? There was Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. That is just the reason why we need to pray for the preaching and the preacher of the word. Satan will not be far away when the word of God is opened and the word is preached, because Satan will be there to resist the proclamation of the word. On the other hand, the Lord can bring even the worst of sinners into God's house and to sit under the preaching of the word. The Lord's able to bring the worst of sinners in to hear the word of God. So as well as the description of the man, we have the disturbance by the man. We should not miss the connection between the preaching of the word and the disturbance caused by this man with the unclean spirit. For if you look there in verse 22 of Mark 1, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. If those two verses, and the people on the one hand who were in the synagogue were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe. They had not heard this kind of preaching before, for never man spake like this man. They had not seen or heard this type of a preacher or heard this preaching before. That's what we read in verse 22. And then the next verse says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. What does this prove to us? It shows us, not that we should ever be in any doubt, it shows us the hatred that Satan has for the plain preaching of the Word of God. Satan hates the preaching of the Word, and he hates Christ. You recall how Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, and Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Satan was behind it all, as far as Judas was concerned. It was just then, as the word was preached, that the man with an unclean spirit cried out, "There's the disturbance." The two words, cried out, man with an unclean spirit, he cried out, take those two words together, cried out. They give us our English word, megaphone. Politicians will use a megaphone. Rabble rousers will often use a megaphone. They're standing in a crowd, they'll use a megaphone so that they might be heard. That's how loudly this man with an unclean spirit cried out. That's how loud his cry was. He caused quite a disturbance. And of course, the demons from hell are quite good at causing disturbances in places of worship. The devil has caused quite a lot of trouble in churches over the years. Divisions have taken place. People have been hurt. Ministers have resigned. All because of trouble makers in the church. Who's behind it? The devil. Turn over to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. There in Acts chapter 13, word is being preached. We see how Satan once again will resist the preaching of the word. Acts 13. And there we read in verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, child of the devil. Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. Stood against the preaching of the word. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? That's how Paul dealt with Elymas the sorcerer. That's how Paul dealt with this child of the devil. O full of mischief, all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And like this man in the synagogue, the trouble maker made the loudest noise. The devil usually does make the loudest noise. Uses the megaphone voice, as it were, where the Lord was about to silence Satan. And he would not be shouting or causing a disturbance anymore in the synagogue as far as this man was concerned. As well as the description of the man and the disturbance by the man, we see next the disownment by the man. hardly surprising that this man, controlled by this unclean demon, didn't want of anything to do with the Word of God or with the Lord Jesus Christ. For verse 24, whenever this unclean spirit cried out, this is what he said: "Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Notice carefully what was said by this unclean spirit. He didn't say, "Let me alone." He said, "Let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." In other words, the evil spirit was including the man in his rejection of Christ. He didn't want the man to accept Christ. The demon certainly was not going to accept Christ, and he didn't want this man to do that either. He was speaking for the man. So it is. The devil doesn't want souls to accept Christ. The devil will do everything in his power to keep men from receiving Christ as their Savior. That's what goes on in every gospel preaching service. Satan, as we've already noted, will be there at the right hand of the preacher to resist him. He'll be in the meeting to steal away the seed of the gospel. And he will resist the preaching of the word. And he will tell sinners, "Leave it until tomorrow." Or he'll tell sinners, "What about your friends? What will they say?" He'll raise every excuse and every reason for not accepting Christ. But then we know that Satan is a liar and he's a father of lies, and the truth is not in him. And he hates the truth. Notice further, this demon was familiar with Christ. The devil, Satan, and all the demons of the underworld know who Christ is. For he said, "Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Hell knows who Christ is. Every demon, every unclean spirit, every devil, and Satan knows the identity of the Lord Jesus. They know he's not only Jesus of Nazareth, they know he's the Holy One of God. The Apostle James said this: "The devils also believe and tremble." And this devil was trembling, for he said, "Art thou come to destroy us?" Well, if the devil had his way, he would do the destroying himself. He would destroy that man's life. He was well on his way to do it. But the Lord would take care of the devil. We read in 1 John 3 and verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the destruction of the devil would take place soon enough. But he saved this man from what the devil had planned for him, because the devil would certainly have destroyed this man's life. That's what the Savior's great mission was, to destroy the works of the devil and to save never-dying souls from eternal destruction. We praise the Lord that that's what he has done and that's what he is still doing. That's what he did in the synagogue in Capernaum that day. He silenced Satan and he saved a soul. So we have seen thus far the master in the synagogue and the man in the synagogue. Let us see in the last place the miracle in the synagogue. The dear Savior wrought another wonderful miracle. We've been studying the miracles of Christ, and here he wrought this miracle and changed this man's life. Notice first of all the rebuke. Verse 24, this unclean spirit cried out, saying, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." There you have the rebuke. See, first of all, regarding the rebuke, he silenced the demon. He silenced the demon in the man. The Lord sternly rebuked the demon, saying, "Hold thy peace." These words, "Hold thy peace," may be rendered, "Be muzzled." So the Lord said to this demon, "Be muzzled." Sometimes you see people with their dogs out for a walk. You'll see they have the muzzle on. They don't want the dog to bite anyone, any passerby. Well, that's what the Lord did with this demon. He muzzled him. So the words mean, Martin Luther, he had his own interpretation of the words. And he put it a little more bluntly. He said, these words mean that the Lord said to the demon, "Shut up." And I suppose that's exactly what he did. He shut him up. And that's what the Savior did when he rebuked the wind and the sea. And there was a great peace. And he stood up in the ship that day with the disciples. And they thought they were going to perish. And the Lord stood up and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." In other words, he muzzled the storm. How often have we asked the Lord to silence and to muzzle the devil in our own lives? He is the accuser of the brethren. You know how he gets at you at times. Brings up old sins, brings up your old ways, highlights your faults and your failures. He accuses the brethren. We need the Lord to shut him up. And I'll tell you something, it's not our business to do that. It's the Lord. Whenever Joshua was there at the before the angel of the Lord, Joshua wasn't the one who rebuked the devil. We're not to talk to the devil at all. We're not to address or speak to Satan at all. That's the Lord's business. And the Lord will do it. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, not Joshua, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. And so when the devil comes after us, and Satan comes and tempts us, and Satan comes and accuses us, pray to the Lord, ask the Lord to rebuke the devil on our behalf. Because the Lord's the one who has the power to do so. And that's what he did in the synagogue that day. For this demon, this devil, never spoke another word. Never spoke another word. He silenced the demon in the man. And then we read, he separated the demon from the man. The Lord is good at that. And the Lord said, hold thy peace and come out. We read in verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of separated the demon from the man. What a wonderful and mighty Savior we have. For not only do the winds and the seas obey him, but demons must obey him as well. We're all familiar with Job and how Satan went after Job. But he could only go as far as the Lord permitted him. And we read in Job chapter 2, there in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Satan could not take Job's life. Satan did many an evil thing, a wicked thing against Job, but the Lord said, you can't take his life. The devil to Jesus must fall. So we have the rebuke. We notice also the rescue. In verse 26 we read about the last throes of this devil. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. He came out of him. There were the final throes of the devil. The man had been rescued. He did not abide any longer in this man, or did not influence his life anymore. So he had to come out. The Lord delivered the man from the influence of the devil. He was rescued. Christ had rescued the perishing. And those who witnessed the miracle saw the change in this man's life immediately. Job asked the question, who can bring an unclean? How can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The answer is simple. Only one. Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. None but Christ. You think of the unclean individuals, perhaps you've met. One man I know of, first name was Job. Again, like the other two men I mentioned, he had an unclean spirit. Unclean language. And you know something? The Lord saved them. And the Lord transformed them. The Lord delivered him. And the tongue that was used to blaspheme was then used to sing the praises of the Lord. That's what Christ can do. Only the Lord can do. He's able to silence Satan. He's able to deliver souls. Only Christ can make the unclean heart and make it clean. Only Christ can make the unclean tongue sing his praises. Only Christ. Only Christ can make the life of uncleanness and transform that life into one of holiness. That's who he is. We notice also the rebuke and the rescue. And then we have the reasoning. The reasoning there, we're told in verse 27, and they were all amazed. They had been amazed as they listened to the Lord speak, for he spoke with one having authority. Now they're amazed once again, verse 27, and they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, they reasoned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. They saw the change in the man's life. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. We have a wonderful Savior. We are told they were all amazed at what had taken place in the synagogue that day. Amazed. The word amazed means to be astonished, to be filled with awe, for they had never seen anything like this before. They couldn't believe what they had seen. How this stranger of Galilee, this Jesus of Nazareth, had silenced this evil, unclean spirit, and in so doing had changed the life of a man. And we praise God, the Lord is still doing the same today. Still changing the lives of men and women. Making those unclean lives clean. Lifting up the beggar out of the dunghill. Sending them among princes. That's the Savior we worship. That's the Savior we love. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out. And then the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Dear loving God, we come to thee this night and pray that we use the word. Many, Lord, live unclean lives. Many have unclean tongues. Many have unclean lips. Many have an unclean heart. Oh, Lord God, I pray that thou would work and thou would move and even bring unclean souls in under the sign of the gospel here. We might tell them about Jesus, the mighty to see. Lord, bless the word. May we take encouragement from it. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Keep thy hand upon us throughout this week. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore.